This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Y'all talking about the Cowboys before I came on.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm looking forward to watching Micah Parsons.
Short of the touchdown as Micah Parsons made that play.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Parsons has it, and the ball's out.
And boy, them Cowboys, I tell you, them Cowboys, they got back up again.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin. Coming up, actor Blake Anderson, Bills wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
What a show we've had for the first 2 hours. If you missed any of it, we have not only this show re-airing on this streaming service, Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock Channel, you've got our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We greatly appreciate everybody who takes in this show. Through that portal, 325,000 subscribers and counting. We love it. Our podcast, wherever our podcast can be acquired through all different platforms. I saw our 2021 numbers on Spotify. We thank all of those listeners that have sent our show through the roof on that platform. We greatly appreciate that. And also, those of you who want to call into the show, we had a lot of fun chopping it up with our callers in the second hour of our show in particular, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll have a little bit of time here on this hour. Chris Brockman, where he is over there, Jay Felly, aka Jay Felt, Jason Feller sitting in for Mike Del Tufo, who we were wondering where he is. He was on the court with Brian Kelly last night because he cannot quit.
Can't quit him.
The head coach of Notre Dame football, now the head coach of LSU football. There he is out there on the end. That looks just like him. He's got the same shorts and what appears to be free gear look. He's got that lean and free gear look. You know what I mean?
Mike Del Tufo doesn't have two outfits.
That's what Eric Dickerson once said. So. Yeah, the great Eric Dickerson.
Right, I feel bad.
Okay, very good. TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there, sir. Good to see you.
Hey, Rich, I'd just like to quickly point out 34 years ago tomorrow, there's a big anniversary. You might not know. Mr. Randy Watson, as you can tell by my show.
Uh-huh.
He and the Sexual Chocolate Band performed at the Miss Black Awareness pageant and tore the house down.
I did.
December 4th, 1987. So the anniversary's coming up.
Oh, wow.
Just okay. Very good.
Point that out.
I did not know that's a nice T-shirt that you're wearing.
They play so fine. Don't you agree?
Of course, I agree. And I understand you're giving me a line.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, very good. Emmanuel Sanders of the Buffalo Bills is going to be calling into this show. He's in a new spot. Everywhere he's gone has been nothing but success. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel Sanders for the Buffalo Bills going to wrap up a Week 13 that kicked off last night. And the Saints are in desperate need of help at quarterback, man. Taysom Hill, multiple interceptions in the fourth quarter last night, and you could see his hand was getting taped up. He's got the same malady that Russell Wilson suffered. And it looks like he's now going to be out with surgery. Facing him and the Saints' situation at quarterback is dire. They're 5-7, and they've lost every game since the day that they won on Halloween when Jameis Winston got knocked out for the season, and Trevor Siemian won that game against the Bucs. They haven't lost; they haven't won a game since. But that's only a half game out of the 7 seed right now. They're still in this mix with 5 games to go. What will they do at quarterback? Part of the conversation. Let's have a little bit of fun in a celebrity chat right now. Christopher is our next guest on the phone line.
Yes, sir.
Joining me here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a man who's got new episodes of The Freak Brothers airing on Sundays only on Tubi, a highly acclaimed adult animated comedy adventure series. And he's also currently in production for season two of the hit show on Hulu called Woke. Blake Anderson back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Blake?
I'm doing well. What's up, dude?
I am just hanging out, just feeling good. I went to the University of Michigan, so them beating up Ohio State over the weekend, I'm still buzzing, you know?
Yeah,
I
saw that. A lot of people are really emotional and happy and sad. My gosh, what a game.
Well, I'm on the happy and emotional, not the sad part of it, you know?
Okay, good.
That's what I'm at.
I was rooting for you.
You know what? I'm happy for you too, Blake, because I know you're a diehard Warriors fan. And it looks like the Warriors days of yore, which isn't too far ago, but it looks like you're back. Looks like the Warriors are
dude.
Back.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I feel like us Warrior fans, we were watching this team, you know, in the last two seasons, although the record was, you know, kind of looked like they weren't the squad that they are today. We saw it coming. They just had a chance to really throw a lot of their players into, like, in-game situations, and they just developed their players so quickly, and now look at us. We're just a super deep squad. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I know. And again, as I mentioned, I went to the University of Michigan. Jordan Poole is a Michigan Wolverine, and he has been phenomenal so far this year.
It's like in the last two seasons, he's just found so much confidence. It's like he swears he's the splash triplet, and I'll take it.
I know that. Well, because the brother is coming back, too. So Clay is right around the corner. I imagine Poole will return to the bench and will be one of those six men dynamos because Klay's coming back. Steph looks like he's 23, not 33. And Draymond is the Hall of Fame, distributor and doing all the glue work. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
not to mention
Wiggins comes out of nowhere and is just like a beast every other game. So it's just like, I don't know, everything's clicking. I hope they can just, you know, ride this energy the whole season, because right now they are the team to beat.
Wiseman is coming back too. I mean, this is it's all coming up Warriors right now. And I'm wondering what so when you grew up in Northern California, what was that? Was that the run TMC version of, was that the Hardaway and Chris Mullen Warriors that you were, and Mitch Richmond Warriors when you were growing up?
I was on the tail end of that. I was kind of ushered in during, like, the Sprewell years, and then that kind of turned into, like, the Weber years.
That's right.
And then after that, it got kind of dark and not very good.
That's
but,
right.
I was a big Latrell Sprewell fan. Like, Spree for three, that was my guy. He's still up there in my Warriors Hall of Fame, for sure.
Spree for three. So, you know, I did my local market television work in Redding, California, Blake. Way up I-5. So you're from Concord, right? Is that your original hometown in California?
That is correct.
Okay, so
I grew up there for 18 years.
So why not a Kings fan? Why didn't you go there?
Hey, I've got love for the Kings, man. I was there for that run. I still am a, you know, they got the worst end of all the referees being cheaters that they should have beat Los Angeles Lakers. Like, that team was a championship team. That's robbery.
So were you one of those folks with a cowbell behind the bench banging it, making Phil Jackson all angry? Was that you, Blake? Were you one of those folks?
I wish. I'll say that was like, maybe I was related to one of those people. I hope that was one of my crazy uncles.
Maybe it could be that. Blake Anderson here on The Rich Eisen Show. The Freak Brothers on Sundays only on Tubi. Walk me through this, because you're in it and you're also an executive producer of it. What's going on with this one that people are talking about?
Yeah, so the Freak Brothers, the Fabulous Freak Brothers, is actually like a super legendary, like, underground comic from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't know, they have a huge fan base from back in the day, and like, the comic is just hilarious. There's tons of them. They hold up. They're super funny. And it's kind of like one of those things that, especially in today's day and age where everything is getting remade and all that, when I was reading these comics, it was like, how is this not a cartoon? It's just such a wealth of, like, comedy and ideas in the books.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that there was an opportunity to actually attach myself to the cartoon, I just absolutely jumped at the chance. I mean, it's everything you'd want. It's just the best form of stoner comedy. It's like up there with Cheech and Chong.
Well, and that's maybe that's the allure of Woody Harrelson jumping on board too, huh? Onto
that's
show.
Exactly it, because actually, well, Adam Devine, like my best buddy who I did Workaholics with, and he's also a producer on Freak Brothers, he actually does a show, The Righteous Gemstones, with John Goodman, who does the voice of Fat Freddy on Freak Brothers. And he was kind of like, you know, reading the comics. Adam was reading the comics on set, just, you know, catching up on the material just because we were producing it. And John Goodman actually saw that, and he's like, whoa, like, where the heck did you find Freak Brothers? And Adam's like, oh, well, we're producing it. We're going to make a cartoon. And he's like, you gotta include me. I was a huge fan when I was young, and I wanna be a part of it. And then that just kind of snowballed into the incredible cast we got. It's just like mind blowing.
Tiffany Haddish, Pete Davidson, Andrea Savage, who I love. She is hilarious. And you and Adam Devine, just to name a few on this show.
Yeah. All, you know, Hollywood is murmuring. They're saying it's a stronger cast than Avengers. You know, I believe it.
Hollywood is murmuring is another one of my favorite TV shows. It's a great show, man.
Yeah.
I like that.
Undercover for sure.
The Freak Brothers, only Sundays, only on Tubi. We play Celebrity True or False with some of our celebrity guests. Blake, you qualify on that front for sure on this show, where we go through your history and whether what's online about you is true or false. Would you mind playing that with me right now?
Let's do it. I'm not afraid.
Hit it.
Maybe
hit
I
it.
Am a little afraid.
Okay, here we go.
We'll do it.
But either way, just jump into the abyss. We even have some production value for you. Go for it. Hit it, please.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
All right, there you go. That's it for the production volume.
First
one up for you. True or false, Blake Anderson, your first TV gig was doing backyard wrestling on public access in your hometown of Concord, California, as a character known as Rockabilly Rex. True or false?
Absolutely, 100% true. Mm-hmm. I was recognized at my movie theater job tearing tickets, so that makes it a success to me.
Huh. So what movies were you tearing tickets for back in the day?
Well, I worked at a local theater, Brendan Theaters, and probably the coolest movie that was in the theater at the time was Kings of Comedy with Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey and D.L. Hughley and Cedric the Entertainer.
And that's why we're trying to peg exactly when this was, when you were Rockabilly Rex. And I guess that leads into our next one. True or false, that you had back surgery after fracturing your spine during a house party when you jumped from your roof onto a beer pong table. Is that true or false, Blake Anderson?
That is also, unfortunately, very true.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I would kind of NBA Jam slam dunk a final beer pong ball into the cup. I jumped off the roof, tried to make it look cool, ended up looking pretty stupid. But we're up and we're walking today, so
thank God.
Hey, how live
much,
and learn.
How much of a drop off the roof was it, Blake?
I don't know. It was just like off of, I would say 13 feet, but let's say it was 30 just to make it cooler.
That does make it sound a little bit more frightening. Okay. So you're basically, are those two things connected? Your backyard wrestling and your beer pong table roof jumping. Those are connected, I imagine.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's a reason that before you watch pro wrestling shows, now they're like, don't try this at home. I'm the reason.
Next one. True or false, you were a pizza delivery man in college and occasionally would heist a pepperoni or two off the delivery pizza without anybody knowing. True or false?
Absolutely. Westwood, California. I served up plenty of UCLA Bruins, and the rumors are true. They don't tip that well.
Come on.
Yeah.
Who did you deliver to? Which Bruins did you deliver to? Football, basketball, which ones?
But by the looks of it, it was probably like a wrestling team. I don't know. I would hope that the basketball players would be balling more, but I was usually asked to be paid in bong grips, and you know, I have to pay the rent, but I did accept sometimes. That leads us to Freak Brothers, right?
It's all connected. It's like a tapestry you're weaving together, Blake. No question about that. Last one for you. True or false, for the entire first season of Workaholics, you and Adam Devine actually lived in the house where your characters live in the show. You were convinced the show was going to get canceled, so you did it to save money. Is that true or false for Workaholics?
It's absolutely true. Not only to save money, but to literally have Comedy Central pay our rent while we lived there. They were paying for us to live there because that was the set of the show. It was pretty ingenious, and it just so happened that it worked out that we got more seasons. So living rent-free.
So you basically said, did Comedy Central know that you were tenants as well as employees, contracted employees? Did they know?
It was kind of like a two-for-one where we were also like set security, so nothing would get stolen. It was like 24-hour surveillance. It was perfect.
So when we're watching Workaholics and the place had that lived-in look, it's because it literally was being lived in by you and Adam Devine. That's exactly what
It was like a running joke. Anytime there would be dirty dishes in the sink, we'd be like, definitely don't do the dishes because it's continuity. You have to keep them dirty.
Continuity issues. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Blake Anderson, thank you for the call. Greatly appreciate it. The new season of Woke on Hulu is currently in production. And the Freak Brothers, congratulations on that. There's a reason why everybody's talking about it. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Thank you so much.
You got it. At Uncle Blazer on Twitter. And again, that is not, I don't think, the Portland Trail Blazer reference. And at Blake Anderson on Instagram. Blake Anderson here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Fun chat right there. Let's take a break. So it appears just right now is when Emmanuel Sanders is walking off the practice field in Western New York. So when we come back, maybe he'll be ready. And if not, we'll just shoot it until he is. So that's the way we're rolling here on this Friday going into the first football weekend in December 2021 right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show on radio, I think I have turned many people off by saying, calling Dr. Pepper trash. Wow. What do you like about Dr. Pepper?
I mean, I don't
drink. Was that your pick, Chris?
I don't drink soda. Or 7-Up. That would have been my pick back in the 80s.
Okay. 7-Up. 7-Up. In terms of your favorite soda.
7-Up was good.
My kids do dig 7-Up.
Yeah.
Or Sprite.
7-Up's good.
You know, 7-Up, that was good stuff. But Sunkist, oh my God. Yeah, do they still make Sunkist or do they not?
I believe they do.
Oh my God.
Sunkist reminds me of like a Saturday growing up in Altoona, going to the station mall, the arcade, playing video games all
that's
afternoon,
what I'm saying.
Drinking some stuff.
Right, right.
Having a slice of Brothers Pizza.
Right.
Like,
and
oh.
Then, the Sunkist, the candy version of Sunkist is those orange drops. You know, they look like little orange wedges with the sugar on them.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I just saw those at Rite Aid the other day.
Oh my God!
They were right next to those circus peanuts that we hate.
The circus peanuts.
Yeah, gross.
You said 7-Up's your favorite?
7-Up's pretty good.
See, I associate that with stomach aches because if my stomach hurts, I get a 7-Up or a Sprite.
Oh, is that right?
But the rest of the time, it just makes me.
That's your home medicine.
See, ours used to be ginger ale. If you had
that's an old school thing. My dad, I remember whenever I had an upset stomach, he would give me soda and pretzels,
some saltine crackers.
It works. Fact.
Saltine crackers.
Yeah. It works.
Salt is that what
ginger
it is?
Saltine and ginger ale. Yeah,
ginger ale. There's no ginger ale choice on that.
No.
On that. let's go to Jeff in Los Angeles. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Rich?
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Second time in a week. I think this is a pleasure. I
mean, Jeff, it's good to have you back. What's on your mind, man?
So I know we're coming from a little biased of a perspective as an SC guy. You might be coming as a little biased as a Michigan guy. But I'm just shocked at Notre Dame hiring Marcus Freeman. Nothing against the guy. I mean, I understand it, but they need to look at A, USC with Clay Helton. How did that turn out? And B, Larry Coker with Miami. How did that turn out? So
yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I think you're you know, Marcus Freeman, I think, brings different personality to the table than Clay Helton and Larry Coker. You know,
big time.
I mean, you know, I mean, first of all, Marcus Freeman, he's 35. He looks much more dynamic than Clay Helton or Larry Coker ever thought they could be. He's a person of color. He must relate in so many different ways to players than Larry Coker or Clay Helton ever could. But I you can compare the three in the fact that they've never, you know, done it before at the HC level at a school that is considered blue blood as Miami used to be. And I don't do that. Right. And I don't say that in any trolling manner or me being chesty about that, but that's a fact.
Right. And the only thing that I'm concerned is in both those situations, right? It was the players that wanted these coaches, right? The players went to the administration, the players went and listen, Notre Dame, fine. By all means, in my opinion, I love it because, like, I mean, I would ideally like Brian Kelly there because I don't think he's that good of a coach. You know, the players went and they wanted these coaches to be promoted, you know, from internally. So I see the writing on the wall, and I don't know. I feel bad for Notre Dame. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. The only thing I feel bad for Notre Dame about, and I'm being serious, because as you know, I've come on here before and talked about my dislike of that program and everything about it, is that, again, that they have their longtime, all-time leading head coach leave for another job at another school at the same level. And that leaves them feeling or having the brand of not being considered the best possible spot, a destination spot. And I was having my fun this week and calling it a stepping stone job. But that is essentially the way that Brian Kelly has been branding it. And you know, part of the reason why I think he's been branding it that way is he doesn't want people to say that he did this for the money. So he has to talk about other stuff other than money as to why he went from one spot like Notre Dame to another spot like LSU. So right. That's the way he's got to talk about it. But other than that, I mean, and I appreciate your phone call, and let's do this more than let's do this twice a week thing a little bit more. I guess it's like instead of two a day, it's two a week from Jeff in LA. So I don't sit here and think that Notre Dame's in trouble. Right. I mean, how many times do you say this guy doesn't have it or this guy doesn't have experience, and then he turns out to be remarkable in the job? Happens all the time. So they say that the kids do love him. They say that they've got the best possible setup. Well, we'll see it. And the most amazing thing about it is that when was the last time a guy gets his first head coaching spot at a school like Notre Dame, okay? But his first game in that spot is a national championship semifinal game. That could totally happen. Your first game as head coach, congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
You are two wins away from winning it all.
I'll take it.
The only thing that it could come close to, the only thing that comes close to this is when Steve Fisher took over the University of Michigan in 1989, and his first game was an NCAA tournament game. And then five games later, he's now the head coach of University of Michigan hanging a banner.
Boom.
And there was no way that that job was being taken from him. But he was an interim coach. This guy's been given, it's your job. We got it. We're not going on any search. We're not doing anything. We found it. We found it in the locker room. It's you. We see what you do with these kids. We see how the kids feel about you. We know what you've done as a recruiter on the road. We know how you've represented our school. We are thrilled that you do represent us. But at the football, how many times have we seen that? I can't, there's no comparison. Of course, Notre Dame, his first game might be next September, if things don't break that way. And I'll tell you what, I've been writing a ton of checks. I've been writing a ton of checks the last few days.
I think Notre Dame might get in.
And you asked me what's more likely. I'm thinking, you know, Notre Dame is going to get in. That there is some reason in my mind that this is all set up. The football gods, the college football gods, are kind of like, how wild would it be? And then if Notre Dame gets in, you've got to look out. Because you want to talk about house money?
Right.
You want to talk about kids having an opportunity to wipe something off that just affected them in a way that they thought they were down and out, but now they're back, and now the guy who's going to do it is their new head coach. And could you imagine his first two coaching gigs are the national championship semifinal and the final, and then he could potentially do what Brian Kelly did not do?
In two games?
As we're sitting here, this is not anywhere out of the realm of possibility. And even if Notre Dame gets in, you can't sit here and go, they have no shot against, say, my alma mater. And you can't sit here and say that they wouldn't have a shot against Georgia either.
Yeah, you're in.
Because they're like playing for the coach and playing for the school and playing for themselves and showing Brian Kelly within two games, you lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah,
that is a significant emotional piece of capital here, man.
Michael Smith would look like a genius.
Yeah, he said that Notre Dame would win one with Marcus Freeman before Brian Kelly wins one at LSU. Dude, that's entirely possible. As we're sitting here right now, getting ready for tomorrow. Just to review one more time, if you don't mind, Mike Hoskins, putting up tomorrow's schedule. It all starts with the Big 12 championship game. It all starts with Baylor and Oklahoma State in the Jones Mahal. Again, the Cowboys are off. And part of the reason why they're not playing at home this week is the schedule is new. They had to have this first Saturday and this first weekend in December free because there was going to be a Big 12 championship game, and it's Baylor against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has beaten Baylor already this year. If Baylor reverses the fortune, that leaves a spot open that won't belong to Oklahoma State should a spot be open, right? And then the way that a spot gets open is if Georgia beats Alabama. Yep. And a way a spot gets open is if Houston beats Cincinnati, although that AAC championship game that kicks off at 4 Eastern time on ABC just as this CBS America's Most Watched Network, folks, put you in front of the television set for Georgia and Alabama. That's a home game for Cincinnati, the AAC championship. Let's say Houston wins that one. That's a spot that could belong to Notre Dame. And then the check writing that I've been doing all week gets returned to sender in Ann Arbor, heaven forbid. Iowa beats Michigan. That might mean Notre Dame gets in. Those are three ways that Notre Dame gets in. That's three ways. And you could even make the case that Oklahoma State, I think if they win and there's a spot open, they're going to get it. Because I think the college football committee wants to give you a Big 12 team. That's why they have Oklahoma State ranked fifth right now. That it's their first spot. First spot open, they get it if they win. Let's say they lose. First spot open, gets to get it. It's Notre Dame. This is entirely possible what we're talking about right here.
What if there's... Let's just throw this out there. What if Iowa upsets, Baylor upsets, and Houston all wins? What if those three teams all win? Does Alabama get the 4 spot ahead of Ohio State?
If Georgia beats them?
Yeah.
If they're a two-loss Alabama over a two-loss Ohio State?
Yeah.
How does Ohio State get it over a two-loss Michigan?
Okay, there you go. Michigan is still in.
Yeah,
then?
At that point, you'd have to start talking about Michigan State, and I don't know how you make that. I don't know how you put a Big Ten team in because Michigan State, as you know, came back to beat Michigan,
right?
Which beat Ohio State, which spanked Michigan State, 56-7, right? So how do you even go there?
I don't know. I'm just looking at absolute worst case chaos scenario.
Michigan makes the Big Ten championship game, loses. They've got two losses, one to Michigan State and one to Iowa.
Right.
Ohio State's got two losses, one to Michigan, one to Oregon. And Michigan State's got two losses, one to Purdue and one to Ohio State. Do you still put a Big Ten team in?
Well, if Oregon wins the Pac-12 championship, are they suddenly...
That's a Friday night.
That's Friday night. Okay. That's tonight.
That's tonight against Utah. Tonight.
So they win tonight, Oregon just kind of waits and then hopes for chaos, and maybe they get in?
I think that's chaos. That would be an understatement. But the ultimate scenario that we're painting right here for Notre Dame is entirely possible. Notre Dame gets in, right? Didn't ESPN say earlier this week there's a 58% chance? It's better than a coin flip that they're going to get one of those four spots. And if they do, Marcus Freeman's first game as head coach of Notre Dame is to coach in a national championship semifinal on New Year's Eve. And if they win that one, his second game will be a national championship final. Quite a run that would be. Oh, and if he wins it all, welcome to being an HC in college football, Marcus Freeman.
It'd be amazing.
That's entirely possible, guys. Entirely possible. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I believe Mr. Sanders has just gotten off the practice field. Is that correct? Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is one of our favorites. Fresh off of the practice field for the Buffalo Bills, getting set for a Monday Night Football contest that I will be doing the pregame and halftime show of on Westwood One Sports. Emmanuel Sanders, how are you, Emmanuel?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing, man?
Are you aware that I've been sitting here tap dancing on the air while you're doing extra passes and extra catching on the practice field? What's going on, Emmanuel?
Hey, man, trying to get better. You know, we got a big game coming up.
Well, your professionalism's getting in the way of my show, Emmanuel. What's going on? How dare you? How dare you?
Hey, man, I got two kids to feed, man. I'm sorry.
I've got three. Well, at any rate, I'm thrilled that you're here. What is your sense of things entering December in Buffalo for this team? I mean, you've been on championship teams. You know what they look like. You know what they feel like.
You know what we got to do right now in the AFC. Nobody's taking over. And the playoff picture is looking like, you know, who knows who can get in. And so, I mean, we understand the sense of urgency around here that, you know, we got to win some games. And it starts on Monday night, you know, in terms of if we want to win the AFC East, it goes through, you know, New England right now. They're the top seed of the AFC East. So, you know, we know we got to handle business and we're up for the challenge.
And you also know what it's like to take on a Belichick defense, obviously, from your first few years in the league significantly in all those games where the AFC writ large, the conference came down to a lot of those New England Pittsburgh games that you were in. What do you think is coming your way on Monday night?
I mean, it's crazy. You look at the Patriots, you know, last year after Tom left, you're like, okay, all right, they're in a rebuilding year. And then you see Belichick make all these moves in the offseason. You're like, oh, okay, can he really put it together? And then they draft up, you know, Mac Jones, and now all of a sudden it seems like, you know, the Patriots are back, you know. And when I mean back, it seems like championship caliber type team. And, you know, they're on a win streak right now. They're hot. They're coming in. And, they're believing they can win. And so, you know, obviously we know exactly what the Patriots' way is. We know that, you know, they have a winning culture over there. But at the same time, you know, it's a fight for the AFC East. You know, and so, well, like I said, we're up for the challenge.
What's your favorite Josh Allen story? What do you have for me on that front?
Josh, man, I got way too many stories. This guy, every day I come into work, he's always, like, messing with me. And he's, like today, like, hey, what's up, Grandpa? How you doing, Grandpa?
Grandpa? Grandpa?
Yeah, you know. Oh, well, I found out I was the oldest receiver in the NFL. And, you know, a lot of people look at it like it's a bad thing. I look at it like it's a good thing. Hey, man, I survived everybody. You know, like, I'm the OG of the league in terms of receivers right now. And it feels good because, you know, yesterday, you know, at practice, I clocked 20 miles an hour. I was the third fastest on that day. And, you know, to be the oldest receiver in the league still doing that, man, it felt good, you know. And so if what's really going to feel good is go out and make some plays and really get a win on Monday and, you know, be able to, you know, keep rolling and keep winning and hopefully, you know, win it all at some point.
So you said Grandpa got ticketed for speeding? Is that what you're telling me, that story, Emmanuel? Is that what you tell me? In the 15-mile-an-hour zone? So what happened?
So you know, on the field, there is no speed limit on the football field. You know what I mean? They encourage Grandpa to go faster.
Wow. Okay. So Josh Allen's having fun like that, but it does appear that you do have a connection with him right now. How does that develop? How did you develop that with him? Obviously, over the last 3 months.
I think it's just two competitors, but at the same time, like, we kind of get each other too. Josh is one of those guys, man. Like, he understands that football is a game, and he plays the game of football not only from, you know, a mental standpoint or from a professionalism standpoint. He has all that, but also just from a kid standpoint and how he plays the game and having fun, because it is a game that we play, and he And he reminds me that every day because sometimes, you know, and, you know, my 12-year career, like, I get so caught up in just the job part of it, I forget that, you know, it's a blessing to play a game. You know, football is a game, but they pay us a lot of money to do it. So sometimes you get lost in it. And, you know, coming into work and seeing this dude every day, like, I mean, his wittiness, the way that he wants to joke around but also be serious at the same time, it just makes work so much fun. You know, I'm having the time of my life by it.
How good is Diggs, Emmanuel? How good is Diggs?
With the exception of the weather right now. Today, it was cold outside. It was cold today.
Well, Emmanuel, I hate to tell you, I live in Western New York, man. I mean, this just in.
I know, right?
This just in. It's going to get colder. It's going to get colder.
Exactly. That's what everyone's telling me.
Yeah, I know. So how good has Diggs been? You got a front row seat now seeing him up close and personal.
Oh, man, he's good. Man, today at practice, I was just watching. Like I said, it was cold outside. And this guy's come bursting off the ball. He's running into the huddle. He's dancing. He's having fun. And one of the hardest working guys I've been around. It's the reason why he's had so much success. Just from a competitive standpoint, being on the sideline on game day with this guy, like I tell him, like Diggs is he's already Diggs in terms of at practice, but on game day he turns into like a whole nother like monster. He's just so competitive and so like locked in and just screaming. I tell people all the time, like every game Diggs is gonna lose his voice because he's screaming, he's hollering, he's getting the guys going, he's bringing so much energy to the game. You know, out of everybody I've played with, like he's the most energetic player I think I've ever played with, and passionate player that I've ever played with in wow. terms of showing it and his emotions and the way that he go about his business.
Yeah, I don't even call it a route that he ran on Thanksgiving night. What was that like in the film session, looking at that one again on the goal line that he scored the touchdown on? What was that like?
Beautiful, and it's crazy because you know when I was watching film, he had ran a similar slant route on Marshawn probably like 15 plays prior to that, but he won on the slant, and so in the release that he took. He took this exact same release on that return route, but except instead of slanting in, he slanted him and then broken back out. That just goes to show what type of route running capabilities you have in terms of how he's setting up guys in the game, knowing that at some point it's going to be, you know, another move off that same route, off that same release. So he's one of the best in the game. Like I said, he was all pro last year, one of the best in the game. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play with a lot of good receivers, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Michael Thomas, now him. And just seeing how these guys go about their business is the reason why they have so much success.
Well, you've been in it for now your 12th season here, Super Bowl 50 champion Emmanuel Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple minutes left with the Buffalo Bill. And so you know, again, speaking of Bill, that's Belichick on the other sideline, and that defense is coming, and they've been balling out, and so much conversation that it feels like 2001 for them all over again. You know what I'm referring to. Or the fact is, again, that they've got their championship feeling back. And again, you were part of those Steelers teams when you first started playing to see all of that. You know, you got to hold turf, right? You got to hold your turf on this Monday nighter. It's that crucial because otherwise you got to go there next time. And you can still win there, obviously, but that the assignments get tougher. Do you have a sense that this is all of that? Monday night,
it's like that one thing that's going viral in terms of TikTok when they say I understood the assignment. You know, we definitely understand the assignment, and they understand the assignment, and it's a 5-star matchup. It's the reason why it's on primetime football, Monday Night Football. The whole world is going to be watching, and what a beautiful thing for the NFL. Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen versus the New England Patriots, a hot team who. Nobody really, thought, you know, would be as hot as they were, especially with a rookie quarterback, at least from my perspective. And they got a defense that's lights out. They got a young, hot rookie quarterback. And they got Bill Belichick, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, you know, NFL coaches of all time. So what a beautiful night in Buffalo, and what a big opportunity for us, you know, to capitalize on the moment, and I hope we do.
And how about you, too? You know what I mean? Like as you mentioned, grandpa is how you're being referred to. Year 12 for you. You've come back from injuries multiple times. I mean, this is it. You're in a game as significant as any other in the NFL in this 2021 season. It's just got to feel great for you. I feel great for you.
It feels amazing. And you know, my son, you know, I tell him all the time, I say, it's crazy to be on a championship caliber team, you know, at year 12, you know, and starting, you know. That's the best part about it, right? It's not like I'm on some, you know, 0-6 team just trying to maintain the league. Like I'm still producing and still relevant, and it feels good. Like, you know, these are the things that, you know, most people wouldn't say, but it does feel good, and that's the truth. Like, it feels good to be in the league in year 12 and still competing for championships. And so it's definitely a blessing, and you know, I'm trying to take full advantage of it.
Yeah, and the guy you won Super Bowl 50 with is going to be talking about you on that Manning cast, too. He'll be out there. He's part of the paparazzi now, Emmanuel.
Yeah, that's my guy.
You know, so that'll be part of it. Hey, have a great game. Thanks for hopping off of the practice field and hopping on here. I greatly appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats, and you know, I think the world. So thanks again. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, Rich.
Right back at you. It's Emmanuel Sanders. Father, grandfather. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I had no idea about the oldest wide receiver.
Well, you looked it up. Yeah. You said Deshaun Jackson's got him by a couple of days.
Deshaun Jackson has him by a few months.
But a couple of weeks ago, Deshaun wasn't even in the league. So.
True. But they're the same age technically, though, right?
Deshaun's 35. Emmanuel's still 34.
Okay.
Deshaun Jackson's 35.
35 a couple days ago.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break. Somebody else deserves to be leading with his chest. Mr. Sneaky Good Games over there. You have an opportunity to get back to 500 this week? Ish?
Clay-ish.
In the neighborhood, to General Realmo.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jevlo. Hey, this is a show that I am absolutely going to watch with my kids. My kids are going to lose this.
The Heywood Jablami Show?
No, stop it. My kids are going to absolutely lose it when I tell them that we're going to watch Baking It on Peacock.
Oh, nice.
Okay, watch talented home bakers compete on Baking It. It's a holiday bake-off series, hosted by Maya Rudolph and Andy Samberg, with a panel of opinionated grandmothers as judges. You could stream Baking It only on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up. Because my kids love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. My Xander loves Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know what Xan's been watching a lot of is SNL.
Oh.
Sometimes the material is a little bit too old for them, but they love it. Now. They're watching now.
Oh, now. Okay.
They're watching now. Like, they love the Judge Jeanine and the Dionne Warwick, and we have to explain to them who they are. You know, so they know exactly who Maya Rudolph and Andy Samberg is in my household, and we love cooking shows, and this is going to be.
Yeah, I thought about
dynamite.
You yesterday.
We're on it, Peacock. We're
going
on it.
Through Netflix. And I saw the Great British.
Oh,
and I was like, why do I know this show?
Because I talk about it. British Baking Show is a beautiful program. It is one of the best produced programs, and Susie and I watch it with the kids every single week when it comes out, and we cheer over the credits and cry sometimes. It is a beautiful show. I'm not kidding you. And the guy, Paul Hollywood, who's one of the judges, is one of the best at that in any show anywhere on the planet. But I'm going to watch Baking It, that's for sure. Chris Brockman, you ready? Speaking of children's programming, we'll go the exact opposite. Here's some gambling advice from Chris Brockman. Let's hit it, Tom Brokaw. Hit it.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Okay. Go for it, Chris Brockman.
So in week 11, I went 3-0, and I was like,
you were there.
Baby,
we're
back.
You were 1-500. What'd you do? What happened last week?
Well, last week, I tweeted some out right before the weekend.
Right.
And I went 0-3. Oh. So like now we're back
come
to
on, man.
16-20 on the year.
Here we go. Let's go.
Here we go. All right. So we talked about Chargers Bengals earlier today. I'm going to go the over in this game. I think it's going to be super high scoring, and I really think the Chargers keep it close.
Okay.
No Daniel Jones. This total is rising, so if you can grab a number now, grab it before the weekend. I like Miami over the Giants.
Okay.
And I think it's a get-right game for the Rams. This should not be close at the SoFi this weekend.
Wow.
Give me the Rams big over Jackson.
Okay. So you're taking the Rams, and you're giving two touches.
Yeah,
two touches.
Should not be close.
Boy, the Rams need the get right game in the worst week. Okay.
They need it.
Now, we had a caller earlier give you the 2 cents of take the under in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, hold on. Let me find that.
What is that number?
Let me find that number real quick.
What is that number for the Big Ten championship game?
Big Ten championship game, 43.5. He likes under.
I'll tell you what. If that game's under.
Go for it.
If that game's under, I'm going to have a very nervous Saturday night.
I mean, but Rich, it could be 37-3, and that's still under.
Okay, I guess so. But the under to me sounds more like 21-17, and it's tight and all that stuff.
28-10 is still a great score.
Sneaky good games, everybody.
Let's go, Brock.
Right, can you remove the music, Jay Felly? Well, that was a very Del Tufo moment. Were you on your phone right there? Is that what you're doing?
I was.
That's a very Del Tufo moment. You're from the tree. The Del Tufo tree.
I was talking to Brian Kelly.
Let me finish up this chesty week this way. I am not going to have any negative thoughts. I'm not.
You shouldn't.
Well, I should because, again, when I got to school, there was a four-letter word named Long. Chuck Long. I learned about Iowa very, very early on when Hayden Fry was their coach and he wore those good humor white pants and he wore those sunglasses and it was Hayden Fry versus Bo Schembechler. Iowa's a nasty bunch. Always is. Always I've been. Kirk Ferentz knows exactly what to do. The question is does Michigan have a turnoverless, mistake-free game? They've had more of those than not this year. If they turn it over, it's going to be a longer night than anybody's thinking of. And I will not have any negative thoughts. This Michigan is our time. It is. If I've been writing checks, I'm going to write one more before I take this weekend to be all by myself on Saturday night. If the kids want to join, okay? Anybody else wants to come over? Turn it over a new leaf.
Eisenpalooza.
That's right. Coach Harbaugh nailed it years ago. Eisenpalooza. That's what this week was and has been and hopefully goes all the way to next Monday. It'll be a heck of a show on Monday. Can't wait to have you with us. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.